Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter, canto 2, chapter 4, text 1. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Suta uvacha vyasakir iti vachas tatvanischayam atmana upadara matim krishne otareya satim yadak. Suta Goswami said, Marj Prickett, the son of Uttara, after hearing the speeches of Sukadeva Goswami, which are all about the truth of the self, applied his concentration faithfully upon Lord Krishna. Purport. The word satim is very significant. This means existing and chaste, and both imports are perfectly applicable in the case of Maharaj Parikshit. The whole Vedic adventure is to draw one's attention entirely unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna without any diversion, as instructed in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Fortunately, Maharaj Parikshit had already been attracted to the Lord from the very beginning of his body, in the womb of his mother. In the womb of his mother, he was struck by the Brahmastra atomic bomb released by Ashvatthama. But by the grace of the Lord, he was saved from being burnt by the fiery weapon. And since then, the king continuously concentrated his mind upon Lord Krishna. Which made him perfectly chaste in devotional service. So by natural sequence, he was a chaste devotee of the Lord. And when he heard further from Srila Sukadeva Goswami that one should worship the Lord only and no one else, even though full of all desires or desirelessness, his natural affection for Krishna was strengthened. We've already discussed these topics. To become a pure devotee of Lord Krishna, two things are very much essential. Namely, having a chance to be born in the family of a devotee and having the blessings of a bona fide spiritual master. By the grace of Lord Krishna, Parikshit Maharaj had both opportunities. He was born in a family of such devotees as the Pandavas, and just to continue the dynasty of the Pandavas and show them special favor, the Lord specifically saved Maharaj Parikshit, who later on, by the arrangement of the Lord, was cursed by the boy of a Brahmana and was able to get the association of such a spiritual master as Sukadeva Goswami. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that a fortunate person, by the mercy of the spiritual master and Lord Krishna, achieves the path of devotional service. This was perfectly applicable in the case of Maharaj Parikshit. By the way of being born in a family of devotees, he automatically came in touch with Lord Krishna. And after being so contacted, he constantly remembered him. Consequently, Lord Krishna gave the king a further chance for development in devotional service by introducing him to Sukadeva Goswami, a stalwart devotee of the Lord with perfect knowledge and self-realization. And by hearing from a bona fide spiritual master, he was perfectly able to concentrate his chaste mind further upon Lord Krishna as a matter of course. Om Jnana Chimarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurandavatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayebhya Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I've been doing this now regularly for about 7-8 months. So every day is slightly different group, but I'm continuing in a sequential manner. So I generally go back briefly. So the second canto begins with Sukadeva Goswami's instructions on the Bhagavatam in reference to Maharaj Prickett's question, what is the duty of a man who's about to die and what should he not do? And he explained what a man's duty was, which is to his conclusion in several places to chant, hear, worship, and remember Krishna. This is the duty of a man who's about to die. So he explained this very, very carefully and said that if you do this, then you will become completely detached from this world and you'll achieve perfection. And this is the result of hearing Krishna Katha. And what I was explaining before, although the dialogue is between, or the discussion is between Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Prickett, it's actually being discussed, it's actually being told at Naimisharanya by Sutta Goswami to the sages of Naimisharanya, headed by Shonaka Rishi. So we just finished a section, or Sutta Goswami had just finished a section of the discussion, and he's describing how, you know, how wonderful Sukadeva Goswami's instructions are, and he told him that the best process is bhakti yoga. This is the highest nishrayasya, the highest benediction that you can get. The highest benediction is bhagavati achalo bhava, to have unflinching devotion to Krishna, which comes by the association of the devotee. This is the highest benediction you can get. And by this process and hearing the transcendental topics of the Lord in relationship to Krishna, you become completely detached from this material world. So again, he was glorifying topics about Krishna, which is the answer to his question, what is the duty of a person? Our duty is to uncover the self. This is called self-realization. And the self is a devotee of Krishna. So our ultimate duty is those activities which help us to realize what we are, which is a servant of Krishna, to uncover the soul. And the process of doing that is developing attachment for Krishna by chanting and hearing. So this is how Sukadeva Goswami has explained very, very nicely to Maharaj Prickett. And then Shonaka Rishi, who is a very, very special personality, because he's called the most eldest and learned Vedantist. He's the senior person of the assembly. Yesterday we were talking about behavior. So the Bhagavatam is full of proper behavior. So the proper behavior is that the congratulator in any assembly, the person who actually hosts and greets the people in a religious assembly, is the senior-most person. If some senior devotee is coming, who greets him is the senior-most devotee in the assembly. So that was Shonaka Rishi. So he's a very special person. And his nature is this intense enthusiasm to hear. And this is actually the qualification to advance in spiritual life, is your faith. Your faith and eagerness for this knowledge. And the eagerness to accept this knowledge. So we see his wonderful personality. So, Shonaka Rishi, hearing this wonderful dialogue, then we got to this part where he stands up. And He wants to hear further. This is the nature of a devotee. A devotee never gets tired of hearing. In fact, when the class ends or the Krishna Katha ends, he becomes very disappointed. He's always trying to continue the discussion. So it's a very nice part that we got with Shonaka Rishi. He stood up and he said, Sukadeva Goswami is a poet. He's a great devotee. And Maharaj Prickett is a Mahabhagavat, Nitya Siddha. From his very childhood, he was worshipping Krishna. And Sukadeva Goswami, he's also Vasudeva Parayana. He also has intense love for Krishna. And in an assembly of devotees, there must be discussion of Krishna. Please describe more. And then he begins to describe how the life has no value without devotional service. Life does not mean, he says, there's no value to life. Trees have life. He said, do not the trees live? What is the use of your life, your breathing? The bellows of a blacksmith breathe? Sex life that's available to the animals? What is life? Yeah, and then he begins to describe that all the senses are useless or detrimental if they're not engaged in Krishna's service. And he described the tongue becomes like the croaking of a frog, it only attracts death. The ear holes become like the ear holes on a snake who is deaf, but somehow or other hears the frog anyway. We didn't figure that one out, but anyway. And the eyes are like the eyes on a peacock feather. If they don't see the beautiful form of the Lord, and Prabhupada discussed the necessity of grihasthas being involved in sadhana bhakti and deity worship so that their senses can have value and use by looking at the beautiful forms of the Lord. So all these things are very nicely described. And what is the use of opulence, like a big rich man who has a big turban? But if he's drowning in the water, it only makes him go down quicker. So what is the use of the opulence if the head does not bow down to the Lord? So we discussed all these verses, and he was actually, and this chapter is called Pure Devotional Service. Pure Devotional Service is called, actually, Sadhana Bhakti is pure devotional service. It means to, Sadhana Bhakti means when you engage your sense, it's the practice of pure devotional service. Sadhana Bhakti means when you engage your senses with the explicit objective of giving Krishna pleasure or serving Krishna or doing what he wants. And with the explicit objective of purifying those senses by bhakti so that you actually develop devotion. So sadhana bhakti is the platform of practicing pure devotional service. You can go to the deities and bring some nice mangoes and fruits and bananas and come and bow your head and put it there and say, my dear Lord, my daughter's not married. I have problems in the house. So you can do devotional service, but when it comes to the point that your knowledge is at the level where your objective is that I should become Krishna's servant and I should work for his pleasure and this is the goal of life, then it becomes sadhana bhakti. So this is pure devotional service. So we can see how in the Bhagavatam, it's so interesting because one was a dialogue between Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Prickett, and then was another dialogue hundreds of years later between Sutta Goswami and Shonaka Rishi. But thematically, they're actually connected. Because in those verses, he starts discussing Vaidhi Bhakti, which is actually the next step. See, it was... When Sukadeva Goswami explained to Maharaj Prickett what is the duty of a man who is about to die, he explained it gradually. He told him, chant and hear about Krishna, but then he discussed how to get to the point so you can do that. And how you can get, and how different people can get to the point. Even a materialist, an impersonalist, he can meditate on the Virat Rupa, he can see the world in connection to God and develop some divinity. And then it gradually progressed. You can worship the Lord in the heart. And then it came to the point now of Vaidhi Bhakti. So the progression, it progressed. I just want to go back because we didn't really discuss the last two verses in the progression. And then, after describing how all the senses, the eyes have no value if you don't look at the Lord. The legs are like a tree. The legs on a tree. What's the value of the tree? If your legs have no value, just like a tree, if the moving tendency is not used to go to the different holy places, if you don't go to the temple, if you don't use the feet for those purposes, what's the value? You see? So when he got to all the senses, and then he came to this verse where he said, the person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the aroma of the tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. So what does it mean, a dead body? It says, Jivan, while living, Shava, a dead body. So what's while living a dead body? So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes that this, it's a ghost. And a ghost just causes disturbance. So the point is that if you don't take the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee, which means to serve him, then your life is simply a disturbance. It doesn't have value. And therefore, this verse comes again to the same point that Vaidhi Bhakti is connected to service of the devotee. And therefore, Prabhupada said, the first condition of devotional service to the Lord is therefore to be the servant of a pure devotee, and this condition is fulfilled by the statement, the reception of the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee who has also served another pure devotee. This is the way of the disciplic succession. And then there was a quote of a verse from Jada Bharat, where he told King Rahugana tapasiniyati na chedidana, that you cannot attain perfection by tapasya, by vanashram, chanting Vedic hymns, performing austerities, unless you get the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee, unless you get the mercy of a devotee. And Prabhupada discusses this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gopi, Bhartu, Parakamalor, Dasa, Dasa, Anudasa. So this is our philosophy. Then Prabhupada discusses Vrindavan. All the pure devotees pray for the mercy of Srimati Radharani, the pleasure potency of Lord Krishna. Srimati Radharani is the tender-hearted, feminine counterpart of the Supreme Whole. Therefore, the mercy of Radharani is available to sincere devotees, and once she recommends the devotee to Lord Krishna, the Lord at once accepts. So same concept. You have to be recommended by the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. And this is how we attain the mercy of Krishna. So, it got to this point. Now, very interesting what happens is that the next verse in this progression of Shonaka Rishi's prayers is certainly that heart is steel framed, which in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration does not change when ecstasy takes place. Tears fill the eyes and hairs stand on end. These are the symptoms of Baba Bhakti. This is Baba Bhakti. These are the Sattvika, Astika, the Sattvika Bhavas. Astika, Sattvika Bhavas. That when one's consciousness is so fixed on Krishna, this term Sattvik means, it means, Sat means like truth. It means to be, you're so fixed on Krishna that when seeing Krishna, then the mind becomes agitated. And when the mind becomes agitated, it disturbs the life airs. And then according to the emotional experience you have that does this, the life airs come in contact with different elements of the body. If they come in contact with the water in the body, tears come from the eyes. If it comes in contact with the air, then the hairs stand on end. If it comes in contact with the earth element, you become stunned. And this is very powerful because it doesn't go through the thought process. In other words, your body reacts without any mental conception, like, oh, this is nice. It's just very powerful. So these are the symptoms of bhava bhakti. So here the progression has gone further, and Prabhupada describes that, that the purpose of vaidhi bhakti is that we do change our heart. And it's not just that we're, yes, I should do this, I should do this, my senses should be do this, I should do this. But the heart has to be changed. The heart, that's devotion. When it's not just out of obligation, but you like to, you want to, I want to serve Krishna. In other words, you have some bhakti or devotion in your heart. And therefore there's some emotion. There's some emotion that comes in the heart. So what is the duty of a man who's about to die? It's this. The duty is to chant and hear about Krishna, but chant about hearing Krishna in a way that your heart actually changes. And if you're chanting and hearing about Krishna and the heart is not changed, then your heart is certainly steel framed. What's the use of a heart that's steel framed? The purpose of the heart is to invoke emotions. That's the purpose of the heart. To have affection. He has a good heart. What does it mean? He has a good heart. He's sensitive. He loves. What is the use of a heart? It was steel framed. So this is the progression, and Prabhupada describes it. Vidhi bhakti, or regulated devotional service by the limbs of the body, namely the eyes, the ears, the nose, the hands, and the legs, as already explained here and before, is now stressed herein in relationship to the mind, which is the impetus for all activities of the limbs of the body. So the impetus means we should engage all the eyes, the senses, etc., not just because we have to, but because we like to. It may start off because we have to, but we have to get to the point that we like to. It is expected by all means that by discharging regulated devotional service, one must manifest a change of heart. If there is no change, the heart must be considered steel framed, for it is not melted even when there is chanting of the holy name of the Lord. We must always remember that hearing and chanting are the basic principles of discharging devotional service, and if they are properly performed, there will be the following reactional ecstasy with signs of tears in the eyes, standing here in the body. These are natural consequences and the preliminary symptoms of the bhava stage, which occurs before one reaches the perfectional stage of prema, love of God. So bhava is called prema ankur, just like you have a sprout. Ankur means sprout. So prema comes out. That's bhava. If the reaction does not take place, even after continuous hearing and chanting of the holy name of the Lord, it may be considered to be due to offenses, and that's the opinion of the Siddhartas. So actually it comes down to offenseless chanting. We have to chant without offenses. So this is the duty of a man who's about to die. He should chant without offense. He should chant without offense. And the purport, Prabhupada discusses this bhava and how these symptoms, becoming stunned, tears coming, they can be, the external symptoms can be too easily imitated. You know, rolling on the ground or crying. They can too easily imitated. And at the same time, there are circumstances when an advanced devotee doesn't exhibit them. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says we shouldn't judge by these external symptoms someone's bhava, because there's too many imitators. He gave the example of Ramananda Roy, not as an imitator, but when he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Kovar on the bank of the Godavari, Lord Chaitanya saw him. He was sitting there, and Ramananda Roy, and then because Ramananda Roy was Vishakha and Lord Chaitanya was in it, in the mood of Radharani, they embraced and they were rolling on the floor, and they, you know, all these ecstatic symptoms came. And then they looked up and they saw these Brahmins who were Swajatiya. They weren't in the same understanding and mood. And then they saw, they went, okay, we better hold it off now. we'll meet, what is it, Stane Raha, in a secret place later on. We shouldn't do this now. So better, the symptoms that are mentioned is to judge a person's bhava is his cessation of material desires, his utilization of his time, his eagerness for glorifying the Krishna, his attraction for living in a holy place, his detachment, his pridelessness. Because these things can't be imitated. So he describes like this. And therefore he concludes the chapter, O Suta Goswami, your words are pleasing to our minds. Please therefore explain this to us. This is Shonaka Rishi, as it was spoken by the great devotee Sukadeva Goswami, who is very expert in transcendental knowledge and who spoke to Maharaj Prickett upon being asked. Now today's verse. So Suta Goswami responded, and he described, so what happened? Because Shonaka said, so what happened further? So he described that Maharaj Prickett, the son of Uttara, after hearing the speeches of Sukadeva Goswami, which were all about the truth of the self, applied his concentration faithfully upon Lord Krishna. So it's very interesting. What happened? After hearing these speeches of Sukadeva Goswami, and what were the speeches of Sukadeva Goswami? Tattva nischayam. That which verifies truth. In other words, he heard tattva. He heard that which is true. Very interesting. Atmana. About, he's heard that which is true about the self. And then what happened? Matim, Satim, Krishna. He very chastely concentrated the consciousness with faith. Faithfully applied his consciousness on Krishna. So this was the result. What we're going to hear now is the result of hearing truth from a devotee. He's describing it because Sonika said it must be. So what happened after he heard? Well, this is what happened after he heard. He just fixed his mind. Now, I sometimes describe in my class, I've really read this, I think, hundreds of times practically, this particular canto. And each time I see something new. So I'm just realizing that the same words here, matim, which means concentration of the mind, also means faithfully, and satim, chaste, Krishna, unto Krishna. Same thing was used at the very beginning when Sukadeva Goswami was explaining to Maharaj Prickett the duty of a man who's about to die. And he explained, you should hear and chant about Krishna. Hearing and chanting about Krishna is transcendental. Even the topmost transcendentalists who are beyond the regulative principles, they glorify Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami said, I was such a person, I glorified Krishna. And therefore, that very Srimad Bhagavatam, he told him, am going to tell to you, because you are a faithful devotee, and as a result of hearing that Bhagavatam, Mukunde Matir Siti, you will become faithful, your consciousness, I'm just going to quickly, Mati, you Sati, you will develop unflinching faith in Mukunda. So this is what happened. Just by hearing a little bit about what to do, he attained this unflinching faith in Krishna. Unflinching faith. Bhagavat Achalo Bhava. This is the highest benediction that one could get. This is what Sukadeva Goswami told Maharaj Prickett. This is the highest benediction. Nishrayasya, the highest benediction. Bhagavati Achalo Bhava. Unflinching devotion. And this is what prema is. The prema bhakti is described as the full, Bhishma Dev is given as the example, full concentration on Krishna with nothing else in the mind. Bhava is described like the sun. The sun means that there's heat and light. Prema is like the sun rays. There's heat and light, but it's dense. The sun rays are lax, but the sun is dense. So bhava is lax. There's intense devotion for Krishna, but there's still its laxity. And prema is when it becomes thick, becomes dense. So this is the result of hearing from a devotee. Now the word that Prabhupada really discusses in the purport is sati. This sati means chaste, without any diversion. And Prabhupada makes a statement that the whole Vedic adventure is to draw one's attention entirely unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna without diversion. Vedaischa sarveham eva vedyo vedantavid vedavid eva chaham. Of all the Vedas, Krishna is to be known. So the whole process of the Vedas is meant to purify one's consciousness, attract him to Krishna to such a degree that there's nothing else in his mind but Krishna. And this is how we practice our sadhana bhakti. Our concentration, our devotion to Krishna should increase. We should become detached from other things. This is the process of Krishna consciousness without diversion. So initially, we're completely absorbed in the material world. And then there may be some process of self-realization that are even impersonal, which get us to distract our attention from the material world and concentrate on transcendence. And then as we become more and more purified, we finally come to focusing on Krishna, and then by Vaidhi Bhakti, our consciousness becomes purified, we develop attraction, and the attraction grows more and more until there's nothing else in the consciousness. In fact, when we see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita the discussion between Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him for the top verse in the scriptures that describes the ultimate goal of life, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, keep on going higher, higher, higher. Finally, there's a description of Radharani's love for Krishna, where she's so focused on Krishna and her love for Krishna that she forgets her own self. She's not even having a sense of self-identity. It's not Mayavadi. She's just not even thinking. We're so self-absorbed, all we think about is ourselves. But in the highest stage, you don't even think about yourself to the extent you're not even aware who you are sometimes. It becomes so intense, the love of Krishna. Even when Krishna is not there, Krishna is there. This is called prema vilas and prema vichitya. Prema vilas is Krishna is not there and you're seeing Krishna. Even when Krishna is not there, Radharani sees a tree which is the color of Krishna. She sees Krishna. And then in her ecstasy, sometimes Krishna is not there. Krishna is there and she doesn't see Krishna. Because sometimes we know that story of Prem Sarovara, that Radharani was sitting on Krishna's lap and a bee was disturbing them, and Krishna asked his friend to chase away the bee. And when he chased away the bee, he yelled, Madhu is gone. Madhu means bee. But Radharani heard it that Krishna is gone. And she went into a state of separation. But what was the state of separation? When you have great attachment for someone and they're gone, then they come into your heart. So the concentration is even more. And then when you see them, then what's in your heart is before you. And when they're gone, what was before you is in your heart. So in either way, the concentration is always intensely on Krishna without any other distraction. So this is the result of hearing. And Prabhupada in the purport describes that he became satim from his birth because in the womb, he saw Krishna who came to protect him in the womb of his mother. Therefore, he's named Parikshit. Because in the womb, he saw the form of Krishna. And it made such an indelible impression on his consciousness that his whole life he was searching for that form. So he already was chaste. And then, by the mercy of Krishna, Sukadeva Goswami came. So he was able to hear from a pure devotee, and his consciousness became even more fixed. And by hearing from a bona fide spiritual master, he was perfectly able to concentrate his chaste mind further upon Lord Krishna as a matter of course. We heard this word sati before in relationship to the eyes. When they don't look at Krishna, they're asati. The Prabhupada said asati means prostitute. Sati means chaste. So sati means prostitute. Where the senses just go for personal enjoyment without any responsibility. So this is sati, so chaste. Kunti's also described as sati, chaste. Only Krishna. This is the devotee. So we'll read further in the next few verses that what happens when upon hearing properly. Atmajaya sutagara pashudravina bandushu vajye chavikale nityam varudha mamatam jaho. Marge Prickett, as a result of his wholehearted attraction for Lord Krishna, was able to give up all deep-rooted affection for his personal body, his wife, his children, his palace, his animals like horses and elephants, his treasury house, his friends and relatives, and his undisputed kingdom. So the deep-rooted virudham, mamatam, affinity. This is mine, my family, my friends, my house. He was able to give it up by hearing. Prabhupada says to become liberated means to become free from dahatma buddhi, the illusory attachment for personal coverings. Devotion to Krishna means negation of all material attachments as detailed above. He became detached. This was the result of hearing. A devotee of the Lord never thinks of his household paraphernalia as his own, but surrenders everything for the service of the Lord. Thereby, living entities under a devotee's care get the opportunity for God realization by the management of a devotee master. Attachment for household paraphernalia and for Lord Krishna go poorly together. One attachment is the path of darkness, and the other attachment is the path of light. Where there is light, there is no darkness. Where there is darkness, there is no light. But an expert devotee can turn everything to the path of light by an attitude of service to the Lord, and the best example here is the Pandavas. Marge Prickett and householders like him can turn everything to light by dovetailing so-called material assets in the service of the Lord. So, this is the art of work. It's discussed before that our environment, we generally create an environment for ourselves based on our modes of nature, based on our personal desires, based on our bodily concept of life. And therefore we create an environment. So therefore the environment nourishes our illusions and misconceptions. So the process of Krishna consciousness is by using things. And what is the illusion? What is Maya itself? Maya means the illusion. Maya means that we see things separate from God, because we want to be the enjoyer and the controller. So we generally create an environment that satisfies our desire to be the enjoyer and controller. And therefore, the things we surround ourselves with, we tend to see as separate from God. We tend to see as ours, which is the illusion of the material world. But once trained properly, If he uses things in Krishna's service, then you see them as his. And this is karma yoga. What karma yoga means is by taking objects which you're attached to, but using them in the service of Krishna, you tend to see them as Krishna's, not just exclusively yours. So you begin to develop a spiritual vision, even though we've come to the material world with very much a fluid of consciousness. We tend to start spiritualizing our vision and starting to see things in relationship to Krishna, which is the reality of the world, which makes us more devotional. But one who is not trained or is unable to turn everything to the service of the Lord, nirbandha Krishna sambandhe, yukta vairagya, which means to balance detachment, that you use the emotions, you use the senses, you use the objects in the service of Krishna, but no more. And when you do that, then the detachment is balanced. If you cannot do that, then you must give up all material connections before you can be fit to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. In other words, if you get completely entangled, completely in household life, and it's impacting your consciousness completely, then you have to leave it at the end. I give you an example. I was in Jaipur, and I knew this one very nice man. He was from a king's family. You know, he was like a travel agent, you know, but he had that kind of family. And he had a great-grandmother. The grandmother was in the house, and she was like 90 years old. And she was a very pious lady, and they had a place for her in Vrindavan because the family was connected to Vrindavan. They had a place for her in Vrindavan. And she was just there, and they wanted her to go, but she was just worried about the granddaughter and all the problems and the house and this and that and what will happen to him and this. And, you know, she just could not become Krishna conscious in that atmosphere, had too much a connection with her own personal nature and desires. The result of hearing about Krishna is that you become detached. You become detached. You enter the brahmachari enters the grihastha ashram because it's the best situation for him to become detached. And the result of going through the ashram in the proper way is one becomes detached. And therefore, without diversion, he can focus the mind on Krishna. We can see how when we try to chant Hare Krishna, how much we're disturbed by all our attachments. Our anxieties are only due to our attachments. We fear that something that we like is being taken away, or something that we want, we do not have. And we're always concerned about these things. We're always worried because the material nature, the nature of time, is that it changes everything. And we're very fearful that it's changing things against the way we've constructed them for our comforts. And so everyone's always fearful. You know, maybe the management changes, maybe this, maybe my house will be taken, maybe this, and this will happen, and my ticket, and my visa, and what. And, you know, my child, and how to get into school. Now he's not doing good. And like, it's just the mind is just always, so the consciousness is always there in the environment on how to keep it organized the way I want to enjoy. It's not really bad. I'm not, you know, wanting thousands of beautiful women and drugs and things. I just want a simple Krishna conscious life the way I want it for my comforts and my enjoyment. And time is coming, and time moves matter for our purification, and it's moving it. No, don't move it that way. Please don't move it that way. Don't change it. You know, and our attachments are there, and then, you know, I'm sick and I know my body, and you know. So until you become detached, you really can't do Yesham Tvantakatam, what is it? Yesham Tvantakatam Papam Jananam Punya Karmana Te Dvandva Moha Nirmukta Bhajanti Mam Dridhavataha. Your Bhajanti, your worship, Dridhavataha, can't be very fixed unless you become purified of your attachments. So, this happened to Maharaj Prickett. He was 24 years old. A young man. And I know Bart was 24. He was a young man. Beautiful wife, treasury, friends, everything we want. Deep rooted, wife, children, palace, become attached to our place. I know this one man in Vrindavan, and he was kind of a sadhu, but he was from like a rich business family. And he had like some devotion. He came to Vrindavan, but he built himself a very nice house. But he worshipped his deity and he lived there. But he was kind of like, and he never got married. And he had this very, very nice house in Vrindavan. It was perfectly built. And somehow he never got married, and he should have, but he had this mixed thing about he wanted to be a sadhu. So he kind of lived in Vrindavan, but not married, but he was very affluent. But he kind of lived like a sadhu. He did his worship, he went to the katas, he think. And then, and when he was very old, in his 60s or 70s, he made some mistake with a servant girl, because there's politics in Vrindavan. You know, some people outside found out about it, and he was very disgraced. But it's very nice, because I saw he was from this other sampradaya. He was a friend of mine. How his godbrothers, how they came. They didn't come down on his, they didn't come to hang him, to humiliate. They came to support him. And he realized he had a problem, so they discussed. He arranged that he could come live in the ashram. You know, they were very compassionate. You know, and it really impressed me, too. To see what their mood was. He made a very serious mistake and he got caught. It was humiliating. And I saw that his godbrothers came over there, respected Shastris and Sadhus in Vrindavan. And they took him, they said, you come, we'll give you a room in the ashram. And then he went there and then, you know, a week later he died. You know, the attachments are so, you know, he was attached to this house. He was attached to this house. So they were thinking, you know, that so we can see the result. And Maharaj Prickett, as a result of this, he became detached. The next verse will describe further detachment. And he, in other words, he said, whatever you spoke is right, because he said, I become detached by hearing, and your speeches are making me detached. But you are narrating the topics of Krishna. So this is what Sutta explained further, what happened with Maharaj Prickett. After hearing this, Shonaka wanted to know what happened further. Just like it said in the books, he heard Krishna Katha, and his mind became so faithful and chaste. Fixed on Krishna, detached. This is the process. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 4, Text 6. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Puya eva vidittami. Bhagavan Atma Maya Yate Dam Sijate Vishvam Durvi Bhavyam Adishvara. I beg to know from you how the personality of Godhead, by his personal energies, creates these phenomenal universes as they are, which are inconceivable even to the great demigod. Purport. In every inquisitive mind, the important question of the creation of the phenomenal world arises. And therefore, for a personality like Maharaj Prickett, who was to know all the activities of the Lord from his spiritual master, such an inquiry is not uncommon. For every unknown thing, we have to learn and inquire from a learned personality. The question of creation is also one of such inquiries to be made from the right person. Spiritual master, therefore, must be one who is sarva-gya, as stated herein in connection with Shukadeva Goswami. Thus, all inquiries on God, which are unknown to the disciple, may be made from the qualified spiritual master. And here, the practical example is set by Maharaj Prickett. It was, however, already known to Maharaj Prickett that everything we see is born out of the energy of the Lord, as we have all learned in the very beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Jadma Yasya Yataha. So Maharaj Prickett wanted to know the process of creation. The origin of creation was known to him, otherwise he would not have inquired how the personality of Godhead, by his different energies, creates it. Now, I didn't give a complete explanation of verses 3 and 4 and 5, so I think we're also going to go over those. And this will continue, the result. And as Shonika asked, there must have been more. What happened? And what happened is that there was some result from hearing. And the result from hearing is exactly commensurate with Sukadeva Goswami's instructions there. I also saw something in this verse, but this, O great sages, the great soul Maharaj Prickett constantly wrapped in thought of Krishna. So this is what happened by hearing Krishna Anubhava, wrapped in thought of Krishna, knowing well of his imminent death. So he was informed of his imminent death and constantly absorbed. Then he renounced all sorts of fruitive activities, sannyas karma, namely acts of dharma, religion, artha, economic development, and kama, sense gratification, and thus fixed himself firmly in natural love for Krishna and answered all these questions exactly as you with me. So what happened? Shraddha. This is the process. Faith leads to faith. So, what happens is you get a result and it leads to the same result, but more intensified. So by hearing with Krishna by faith, hearing, what was the result? He firmly fixed his mind on Krishna. And what was the result? By firmly fixing his mind on Krishna, he became more detached. And what was the result? He firmly fixed his mind on Krishna. In what? In his Atma Bhavan, his attraction of love, Vasudeva Bhagavati, just keeps on deepening and deepening. It's like you're cooking something. It becomes thicker and thicker and thicker and thicker. The sugar cane juice, and then it's molasses, and then rock candy. It becomes thicker and thicker. So this is the result. And he gave up all karma. Karma means activities with fruitive intention. That's what karma is. So even in devotional service, there's some activities that we perform with fruitive intention. We enter the grihastha ashram, there's some desire to fulfill. We have certain activities, certain prescribed duties. But he came to this point of a real mendicant, a real renunciate. Because why? Because Vigaya, he was informed of his death. So he was informed of his death. So what is the duty of a man who's about to die? Every man's duty, but especially that person who gets this warning, you have to give up any activity that's connected with the impulses of the body and fix the consciousness on Krishna. Now, I thought that this is very, very... By going through the Sanskrit words, you find interesting connections. So Prabhupada discussed this verse in terms of the verse in Bhagavad Gita 2.41, which is Vivasayatmika Budhi Ekeha Kuru Nandana. That you have to accept This is pure devotional service. This is Shuddha Bhakti. You have to accept just chanting and hearing about Krishna from the teacher, from the Harikatha, just. Just free from any fruit of action. Any action that's connected with your own... Prescribed duties mean you get duties that are connected to your own material conditioning. So, he had to give this up. So I tried to find out where in the instructions of Sukadeva Goswami was Vivasayatmika Buddhi. And that was in the instructions when he told him to be a mendicant. He told him to live very, very simply. Don't get involved in any endeavor in the material world and Vivasayat Buddhi and fix your intelligence. So he heard that. He heard that. That was in the second chapter, in the first five verses. He heard, don't search for anything in this world, but get your intelligence fixed. So he responded. So what was the result of hearing? He responded. He gave up all karma. Karma sannyas. This is all work. Family, friends, everything. Left everything. So this type of mood of the advanced soul is very, very enlivening to Srila Prabhupada, and in his purport, he discussed this. And he also used, it's very interesting that Sukadeva Maharaj Prickett is called Mahamana, the great soul. And Prabhupada said that Maharaj Prickett puts him on the equal level with the Mahatmas described in Bhagavad Gita. Completely Mahatmanas tumam parta daivim prakritim asraya. He took complete shelter of Krishna's internal potency. Complete shelter of the mood that I have nothing in this world except your service. Complete concentrated desire. I just want to serve you, and therefore Krishna's internal potency enters into one's consciousness when one has that very, very thick and deep mood that I have such a strong desire to exclusively serve Krishna. Well, nice. Very nice. So Prabhupada is listing the verses that indicate this mood. So, first he lists from the Shikshastaka. Ashlishyava padaratam panastumam adarshanam mamahatam karotu va yata shata va vididhatu lampato makrana natas ta evanapara. Lord Krishna, who is the lover of many devotees, women, may embrace this fully surrendered maidservant, or may trample me with his feet, or he may render me brokenhearted by not being present before me for a long duration of time. But still he is nothing less than the absolute in my heart. So we're discussing when the result of Sukadeva Goswami hearing, of Maharaj Prickett hearing Sukadeva Goswami's instruction, how he was able to faithfully focus the consciousness in Krishna and become detached. This is the result. These verses are describing that. Now, Prabhupada is commenting on one of the verses of karma sannyas. Karma sannyas means you not only have the attitude, but you give up the work. He became a mendicant completely. So Rupa Goswami also a verse. These are verses that just Prabhupada is giving as a reference to illustrate what was the mood of Maharaj Prickett after hearing. O Lord of the poor, do what you like with me. Give me either mercy or punishment. But in this world, I have none to look to except your lordship. The Chatika bird always prays for the cloud, regardless of whether it showers rain or throws a thunderbolt. So this Chatika bird, it only takes, it's such a connoisseur, that it only wants the rainwater from the cloud, and it waits there patiently. So this is the analogy given to the chaste devotee. And this was the result of hearing. It was Krishne, Matim, Sati. He was Sati. He was chaste, fixed in hearing. And this is, as one becomes more advanced in Krishna consciousness, that faith or chastity in terms of one's focus on Krishna becomes very, very strong. And therefore, in the purport, in the previous purport, when Prabhupada, when Shonaka Rishi said, what is the use of the eyes? If you don't look at the Supreme Lord, they're like the eyes of the prostitute. They're like the eyes on a peacock feather. And then Prabhupada gave a very interesting analysis, because the word, it described in that sentence, that verse, that the senses were called asati, unchaste. So Prabhupada gave this analogy. It's very nice. He said it's asati, unchaste. So what is a prostitute? She doesn't focus on one man. For her sense desire, she goes every place. So our senses should not be a sati like a prostitute. They should be sati. They should be chaste. Just fixed on Krishna. Nothing else. Like that in a way. Especially at the stage where he was described in this verse as the Gaya something. He's informed of his death. Must be focused. Or when you come to that platform of purification in your life. When you're actually at the platform of sannyas. Very nothing, just focus. No gossip, no distraction to material things, vijalpa, just focus, nothing. There's a very nice man who in Vrindavan would come to my class every day. Dadu, the mailman. He'd come every day to my class. And he also told me, he's been a Vaishnava for 30, 40 years. There's guru's instructions to him, you know, how to chant nicely. He said, and just, you know, focus on that. He said, don't get distracted, you know, by pujalpa and what worldly people say. This is Krishna consciousness. So another verse he gives from Madhavendra Puri. Oh, my evening prayer, all good unto you. O my morning bath, I bid you goodbye. O demigods and forefathers, please excuse me. I am unable to perform any more offerings for your pleasure. Now I have decided to free myself from all reactions to sin simply by remembering anywhere and everywhere the great descendant of Yadu and the great enemy of Kamsa, Lord Krishna. I think that this is sufficient to me. So what is the use of any further? In other words, only remembering Krishna. See, this is also interesting also. Because what happened at the beginning is, remember, is that Maharaj Prickett got this very clear instruction. You should chant, hear, and worship Krishna. And it was very, very... But then he described there are some favorable conditions. And then he began to describe how you can suit the environment to facilitate the focus on Krishna. But at this level of Krishna consciousness, he's so focused on Krishna on this level of Krishna consciousness that there's no preliminary activities even required. This is the topmost transcendentalist. He's beyond the regulative principles. Beyond any prescription. He's spontaneously attracted to Krishna. And this was the goal. This was the goal. This was described. Bhagavat Achalo Bhava. Unflinching devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is what will happen by chanting and hearing. And Madhavendra Puri states further, let the sharp moralist accuse me of being illusioned. I do not mind. Experts in Vedic activities may slander me as being misled. Friends and relatives may call me frustrated. My brother may call me a fool. The wealthy Mammonites may point me out as mad, and the learned philosophers may assert that I am much too much proud. Still, my mind does not budge an inch from the determination to serve the lotus feet of Govinda, though I am unable to do it. The same thing. That in our activities, we have so many considerations for others. What someone thinks of us. So many of our activities are dictated by things that are external to Krishna's pure direction. And therefore, it's another distraction for us in our Krishna consciousness. I have to in other words, what a devotee means is that out of love for Krishna and at love for Krishna's representative, he's moving according to Krishna's desire. He dresses how Krishna would to give Krishna pleasure. You know, if he does deity worship, then he, you know, he puts on nice tilak for Krishna's pleasure. You know, he comes before the deity for Krishna's pleasure. How he speaks, he thinks, what would please his guru, what would please Krishna. How he lives, what he says, what he thinks. He's very, very conscious. That's what love means. What will please Krishna? So he's fixed on that. Maharaj Cricket is fixed on that. That's why Prabhupada uses this verse. Because Madhavendra Puri, this is his consciousness too. There's no other considerations of acting for the pleasure of others. I was thinking sometimes the test is there. You visit your family. They're not devotees. They have certain projections for what you should be and how you should act. And they want you to live in their world and move in that way. You have to be tactful, but you have to keep what does Krishna want. And then a verse from Prahlad Maharaj, same thing. So this was Maharaj Prickett's consciousness, which Prabhupada describes as Vivasayat Nika Buddhi Ekeha Kulunandana. This is from the Bhagavad Gita, that one should be see one thing, and that's the service of Krishna. And one who doesn't see that, Vilisayatmi Kabuhi Ekeha Kurunandana Bhushaka Yanantascha. Otherwise your intelligence becomes many branched. Just think, when you have a particular goal and service for Krishna, it becomes very simple. There's one thing on your mind. And what is the mental plane? There's so many considerations because it's sense gratification. Is this better? Is that better? Will this be more happy for me? Is this so? The mind wanders. So many things come into the mind. So here he's just fixed. Okay. And now what happens is Maharaj Prickett, because this is a description, Sutta Goswami is describing what Maharaj Prickett's actions are like. And now Maharaj Prickett himself begins, Sutta Goswami describes that Maharaj Prickett himself begins to speak and himself describes what is his reaction to hearing the instructions of Sukadeva Goswami.
Vajuvacha samichinam vacho brahman sarvagyasya tavanaga tamo visiryate mayam hare katayata katam.
So Maharaj Prickett said, O learned Brahman, that's talking to Sukadeva Goswami, you know everything because you are without material contamination. Therefore, whatever you have spoken to me appears perfectly right. Your speeches are gradually destroying the darkness of my ignorance. You are narrating the topics of the Lord. So actually, this is the process of faith. You see, he heard from his teacher. And he had that confidence. He said, Sarvagya, you know all, anaga, because you have no sin. There's no material contamination. And therefore, vacha, your speeches, samichinam, are perfectly right. And now, this is his faith. Your speeches are gradually destroying the darkness. Your kata is destroying the darkness, the ignorance, for you narrating the topics of the Lord. So this is the practical experience of hearing. There's an effect. A personal realization, I've started about 8 or 9 months ago, a very intensive study of the Bhagavatam. I happen to do it at this time, wherever I am. I never advertise. James here has been my student. I didn't ask him to leave college, but he did. Now he'll go back, but he's with me for 8 months. And I was just teaching him. And the experience was there by really trying to hear Prabhupada's teachings very, very systematically. I really felt, you know, my ignorance was being destroyed. You know, and you know, we all say we have faith in Prabhupada, yes, but my faith increased by associating with his words. My faith increased because I saw the impact on the consciousness. And then I became very enlivened. For the first time, I actually read Prabhupada's introduction. And Prabhupada, in his introduction to the Bhagavatam, said, I have made the word for word, the synonyms, the translation, the, you know, transliteration, and the purports, so that anyone who goes through this very systematically after 9 cantos will be God realized. And then he will go into the 10th canto and hear Krishna's pastimes purely. So I really actually had that feeling. I'm marching now towards the goal. I'm marching now towards the goal. And it works. It clear, you know, what prevents us from actually realizing Krishna is our material desires and our misconceptions. And as you hear the Bhagavatam systematically, your misconceptions and your material desires get dissipated, just as it's happening to Maharaj Prickett. And that's what our faith is. That's faith in Guru. I'm hearing Prabhupada. And by his words, it's the process is actually working. And then a purport, Prabhupada's describing this. The practical experience of Maharaj Prickett is disclosed herein, revealing that transcendental topics of the Lord act like injections when received by the sincere devotee from a person who is perfectly uncontaminated by material tinges. In other words, reception of the messages of Srimad Bhagavatam, like this again, professional men, it doesn't have the same effect. People get very excited and they hear Bhagavad Saptaha and it's very enlivening and they dance in the aisles and they sing with all the songs. But then they go back and it's the same thing. I years ago, one Bhagavad Katha reciter was putting his son in the school, you know. He frankly told me, I'm only doing this for kapra and roti, for cloth and food. So what kind of effect will that kind of katha have on you? It'll entertain you, but it'll actually purify your heart. So devotional hearing of the message is not like hearing ordinary topics. Therefore, the action will be felt by the sincere hearer by the experience of the gradual disappearance of ignorance. And then Prabhupada said, when a hungry man is given food, he feels satisfaction of hunger and the pleasure of dining simultaneously. Thus, he does not have to ask whether he has actually been fed or not. Internally within the heart. This is also a verse of the Bhagavatam. Pareshana Bhavu. There's one verse that says that as when you perform devotional service, 3 things happen simultaneously, your devotion, your detachment, and your satisfaction. Just as when one eats, the pain of hunger goes, you feel satisfied and you feel pleasure. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in this verse said they happen simultaneously. In other words, your bhakti goes and your detachment goes at the same time. He describes, if your detachment is there, but your bhakti is not there, it's actually falga vairagya, it's not real detachment. And if your bhakti goes up, but your detachment is not there, it's actually just sentimental. So the bhakti and everything, detachment goes the same thing. The crucial test of hearing Bhagavatam is that one should get positive enlightenment by such an act. So this is the process. So this is how Maharaj Prickett heard. Now, after hearing and feeling the enlightenment, the verse we read today, he said, I beg to know from you how the personality of Godhead by his personal energies created these phenomenal universes as they are, which are inconceivable even to the great demigods. So Maharaj Prickett, of course, he's a Nitya Parikar, an eternally liberated associate of the Supreme Lord. But he's setting this example of enlightenment. He's actually the acharya for the process of shravanam, of how to hear. So he's setting this example of a man who is hearing. And see, at the very, very beginning, when Sutta Goswami told the sages of Namasharanya, I'm going to tell the history of the Bhagavatam. I'm going to speak the Bhagavatam to you, and they asked about the history. It was very, very puzzling to them why Maharaj Prickett would give up his kingdom. And they wanted to hear the history. Why should he give up his kingdom? That he had everything. So why did he give it up? And even if he was detached, the work he was doing was giving shelter to so many people. So why did he give up the kingdom? And eventually, through the Bhagavatam, the answer was coming that this service of his dying and hearing the Bhagavatam was more important than his ruling the kingdom. Because the Bhagavatam was the panacea for Kali Yuga. So he accepted that death. He's, you know, when death came, he accepted it because he knew it was Krishna's will. And therefore, as a devotee, Prabhupada said, he was happy with death because a devotee's happiness is Krishna's happiness. And when you want to satisfy someone, then you try to fulfill their desire. So Krishna had a purpose for him. Therefore, he was very, very... And that purpose was to actually hear the Bhagavatam. So he was hearing it not only for his own self-realization, but to allow Krishna to manifest in Kali Yuga, because when Krishna left the planet, he manifests in terms of the Bhagavatam. This is how he manifests again. So in that service, he's going to hear things systematically. In the very first verse of the Bhagavatam, it says, Param Satyam Dhimahi. You should hear the absolute truth. Param Satyam. But it says Dhimahi. And Dhimahi, Prabhupada indicates, means the Gayatri Mantra. And the Gayatri Mantra is meant to be chanted to purify you and bring you to the mode of goodness so you can be qualified to hear Krishna's pastimes. So even though he said Param Satyam, you should hear the absolute truth, by saying Dhimahi, he also indicated that you should become qualified to hear the absolute truth. And so therefore you should hear it in a systematic way to actually become qualified. So therefore, in this question, Maharaj Prickett, when his consciousness is fixed, he wants to hear Krishna Katha, and therefore he says, Vivitsami, I wish to learn. But what does he ask about? He asks about Bhagavan Atmamaya, his personal energies. I want to know about your personal energies. And Srijami, how you create this phenomenal world, this Vishvam, this universe. So he asks right from the very, very beginning. And Prabhupada also discusses that in the purport here, that he did not ask his spiritual master to narrate Krishna's pastimes. He wanted to first hear about the creation. Sukadev did not say that the king should hear about the direct pastimes of the Lord. The time was very short. And naturally, Sukadev could have gone directly to the 10th canto. But neither the king nor the guest speaker, great speaker of Bhagavatam, jumped up like the organizers of Bhagavatam. Both then proceeded systematically so that both future readers and hearers may take lessons from the example of the procedure of reciting Bhagavatam. This is also my personal realization. Hearing from the beginning, it's cultivating the heart, it's churning the heart, it's purifying the desires, it's fixing up the intelligence. And it's also giving you those drops of nectar, of rasa, Krishna's relationship with the devotee. That's also there, but it's so systematically done. So you have to hear. So you said, therefore, the neophyte, instead of jumping at once to the platform of transcendental pastimes, presented by the internal energy, must know how great the Supreme Lord is by inquiring about the process of his creative energy. And Prabhupada said, only when one knows Krishna's greatness can one firmly put one's unflinching faith in him. So this was Vivitsami, I wish to learn. He's asking systematically. Now there's another quote by, I think it's Jiva Goswami, and he says that he's putting he's also asking about this question of that he's asking here is to avoid the increase of grief, which he would feel on account of departure from Krishna from the world. Therefore, that's also, the grief would be too much also at this particular point. It's got to hear in doses. And there's also discussions like that he was such a great devotee. Even the acharyas discuss why Radharani's name is only mentioned indirectly, because his heart is so soft that it's not steel framed. It's the exact opposite. It's so soft, it moves with Krishna's name, pastimes, form. He's hearing systematically from the very beginning about the process of creation. And in the purport, Prabhupada discusses how the disciple must have all his doubts cleared, and therefore this is a legitimate question. That the spiritual master must answer all these questions. The inquisitive mind wants to know these different questions. And therefore, the teacher must clear up these doubts. But it's interesting, he didn't ask who the creator was. Because he already knew who the creator was. He asked about the process of creation. And Prabhupada preaches in the purport how intelligent persons, they know the origin of the creation. This shouldn't be a question. Because behind the energies, there's an energetic source. The energy is never independent. So the Bhagavatam starts. It doesn't ask about the origin of creation. In fact, right at the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, the very first thing that Vyasadeva says is, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And Prabhupada said this is very, very bold, because generally, It's actually advanced to accept the truth. Krishna is a person because of the envy in our heart. It's hard for us to focus on transcendence in terms of a person because of our competitive mentality. But so the Bhagavatam actually starts from a very advanced point. Om Namo Bhagavate, directly, Vasudevaya. Prabhupada in the first verse discusses that. How this is a very, very bold thing at once. So he doesn't ask about the origin. He knows the origin. But he asks about the process of creation. And this is a very, very difficult subject. And therefore it says, Durvi Bhavyam Adishvarai, by the demigods. It's very inconceivable. This is very, very difficult to understand. The creation. It's very, very difficult to understand this process of creation. But, again, he quotes Brahma, Ishvara Paramaha Krishna. You may not know the process, but who the creator is, they accept. Even the great Brahma, Ishvara Paramaha Krishna, Satchitananda Vidya. Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarna. That they know. And those who don't know that, Prabhupada said, he quotes Bhagavad Gita, Avajananti Mam Mudha Manushyam Tanam Asritam Parambhava Majana. The fools, they don't know this. They're bewildered about this. So he's going to ask about the process of creation. He says, kindly describe how the Supreme Lord, who is all-powerful, Purusha Shakti. Purusha Shakti. He has all Shaktis. Who is all-powerful, engages his different energies and different expansions in maintaining and again winding up the phenomenal world in the sporting spirit of a player. So this is so inconceivable. This word kriditam means engaging or playing. Describe how he's playing with this external energy. It's such an inconceivable fact. And he engages his shaktis and atmananam, his plenary expansions, in maintaining and winding up the material world. This is very, very difficult point. Prabhupada explains from the Katha Upanishads, he gives the word nityo, nityanam, chaitanas, chaitananam, ekobahunam yo vidatati kama. Nityo, nityanam. There's one supreme, eternal, how inconceivable, and there's many eternal living entities. Chaitanas, chaitananam. There's one supreme living force, God. And there's many individual living force. Eko bohunam yo vidadati kaman. Eko, the one bahunam. Eko bahunam yo vidadati kaman. The one force, he maintains all others. So this word, how does he maintain the whole universe? By his energies. This is see, already just hearing about it, we're feeling some devotion for Krishna. That's Krishna, how great he is, that he's, by his energies, he's shaktis, he's maintaining the whole world. So this is how to understand. You can understand that Krishna is God, but this process, how the one vastu, tattva, the one shakti, advayam gyan, the supreme Lord, how by his shaktis and his incarnations, he's maintaining everything and winding up everything. This process, it's inconceivable to the demigods. Prabhupada said, this is just an inconceivable mystic power. And as such, everything is simultaneously one and different with him by his inconceivable. In Chintya, Veda Veda Tattva, Prabhupada says, it's inconceivable. O learned Brahmana, the transcendental activities of the Lord are all wonderful, and they appear inconceivable, because even great endeavors by many learned scholars have still proved insufficient for understanding them. So his karmana, his acts, Sukadeva Goswami, he's asking this, but he's saying that one who, it's adbhuta, it's inconceivable. It's wonderful. Durvi bhavyam. Same word again. Durvi bhavyam. Very difficult to comprehend. Chaitasam, by the endeavors of Kavibhi, of the great learned people. They're endeavoring to understand this, but it's durvi bhavyam. It's inconceivable. It's a bhuta. It's so awe-inspiring. It's wonderful. It cannot be understood. And then Prabhupada, in the purport again, he just describes that even this one universe is inconceivable. And he describes how even one universe develops, and it's just so inconceivable. And then what does understanding the universe, understand Krishna's Dham, which is anadi, an adi. It has no origin. It's anadi but adi. It's the origin, but has no origin. How can we understand? For common man, these are all very wonderful matters. Narayana paro vyaktat, Narayana existing before the creation. Even for great scholars, they're inconceivable, and such scholars present theories contradictory to one another. So inconceivable. And then Prabhupada, very interesting, he quotes from a news release from Moscow dated February 21st, 1960. When were you born? 18 years before your birth. Russia's well-known professor of astronomy, Boris Vorontsov Voliminyov, said that there must be an infinite number of planets in the universe inhabited by beings endowed with reason. And then he describes about life on other planets, Vibhuti Binam, Prabhupada quotes from the Brahma Samhita, life is everywhere, by Krishna's Vibhuti, his power, Binam, he's differentiated everywhere. So Prabhupada said, Maharaj Prickett's statement regarding the workings of the creative energy of the Lord disclosed that he knew everything of the process of creation. Why did he ask Sukadeva Goswami for such information? And Prabhupada says we can know something of the unlimited when it is explained by the unlimited, as has been done by the Lord himself in the unique statements of the Bhagavad Gita. And it can also be known to some extent from a realized soul like Sukadev, who learned it from Vyas, disciple of Narada, and thus, in other words, this will become that, this is inconceivable, but it can be understood by the power of a devotee. And so what will happen here, there'll be a few more verses about this. When Sukadeva Goswami is asked to explain this, his personal feeling is this is impossible. I have no ability. But what he does is, and this is also be about 20 verses, he'll just offer prayers to Krishna. And all these prayers will indicate how Krishna is all-powerful, therefore decorate my statements. In other words, the devotee's mood is, Krishna is all-powerful. So by his mercy, he can make me speak. He can decorate my statement. Very famous verses. One of them is, Kirata hunanda pulinda pulkasa, ambira shambhaya vanaku shadaya, yenye chapapa yadapasaya se, shudyanti tasme parave vishna. That even very sinful people can become very, very qualified. How? By the mercy of a devotee who has the power of God. So this is and so many things we learn. We not only learn about Krishna the creation, but we learn the mood of a devotee advancing in Krishna consciousness. That his ability to understand is not based on his academic qualification, but the using his intelligence in the service of Krishna. In other words, you have to use your intelligence, but you use it in the service of Krishna, and then Krishna gives you the empowerment. Okay, we'll end here today. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Any questions? Yes.
Speaking about your understanding on that, you said a number of times during the class that the five Buddha beings should be a stand for the Supreme Lord. And both at the first time, you said that Hanuman, the Hari Bhakti Balam, said very strongly that remembering Krishna is the great purifying of the Supreme Lord. So this is the one thing I think is the most important, your understanding of the relationship between.
Well, what I think it's Sanatana Goswami says, or I think it's also in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, that by chanting, it's the most effective way for us to remember. But sadhana bhakti, the change in heart comes by remembering. Without that remembering, you're not actually even hearing.
You know,
that what is that the verse in the Bhagavad Gita that indicates bhakti is maya saptamanya partha yogam yunjan marasya. So, just hear from me, mind fixed upon me. Then just hear from me in full consciousness of me. So by the hearing comes the remembrance. Just hear, touch shrinu. Full consciousness, mind attached, then bhakti comes. You become attached to Krishna.